13, Luke chapter number 13, for just a few moments tonight. And again, so good to be back in the Lord's house and good to be around the presence of God. Amen. And it's one thing to go to church, but it's another thing to go to church and know that you have felt His presence. And I tell you, He's been here all day, and I praise the Lord for that. We need God, don't we? Amen. The Bible said in the last days that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And we need God's power in these last days more than we have ever needed it. I want to preach tonight from Luke chapter number 13. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're not able, that's all right. But we will read a few verses of Scripture and pray, and then you can be seated tonight. I didn't come to preach this message. In fact, I was going to preach another message, but as they were singing that last song, I just felt a nudge that I should go here instead. So Luke chapter number 13, I noticed with me in verse number 31. The Bible said, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto him, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the singing. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your people tonight. And I ask you now, Lord, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you would speak to every heart. I pray if there's someone here tonight lost, God, that you would convict them. May they come and be born again. I ask you to speak to backsliders tonight, that they would get to a place of repentance and that you'd warm their heart. May the fires of revival be real in their heart and their life. We pray for those who are not able to be here tonight, Lord, who are sick. I pray, God, that you will touch them, those that have had surgery this week. Lord, would you be with them? And Lord, we ask you now to bless the reading of thy word, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that there are three things that we must consider whenever we read this text. First of all, we must consider the timing of this text. The Bible says in verse number 31, the same day there were certain of the Pharisees. And when you think about that, the Bible notes this day here. And I think it's important that we note this day, because there are several things that are taking place leading up to what we're going to deal with tonight. And certainly we'll say more of that in just a moment. But anytime the Word of God puts a highlight on a certain day, the same day, a certain day, we should always take note of the timing. For it plays a role. These last few verses that we read in chapter 13 really tell a lot about what has been happening leading up to them. And so there is the timing in this text, and then there is the trouble in this text. The Bible talks about the Pharisees here, and can I say, any time that the Pharisees showed up in the life of Christ, they were not there to support him, they were not there to encourage him, and they were not there to be a blessing to others. Amen. The Pharisees were enemies of Christ, and they were the enemies of the cross. They were full of self-righteousness, and they thought they were better than Jesus, and they thought they were more spiritual than Jesus. Now, can you imagine anybody thinking they're more spiritual than God in the flesh? Amen? But that is this outfit here. They had their rules, they had their regulations, and they thought because they wore the Word of God and they could memorize the Word of God, they thought they were more spiritual than God Himself. And so they're showing up, and no doubt there is trouble. But then there is the truth that is in this text here, and this is what is true, is that Christ is holy and Christ is pure, and the Pharisees are not. Amen. I'm telling you, the Pharisees are going to try to put some pressure on Jesus in this text, and we'll see that here in just a moment. As they come before him, they make a statement. They said, "Get thee out and depart from hence, for Herod will kill thee." And when you come to this text here, it makes it clear in this text here that Jesus is going to serve his Father no matter what people say or what people do. Amen. The Pharisees come to him, they surround him, they outnumber him, and they're there to make a statement. They're there to try to scare Christ. And so as they come before him, what Christ proves in verse number 32 and verse number 33 is that, my friend, he will not be deterred because of the position of man. It does not matter how many Pharisees shows up in the life of Jesus, he is going to do the will of God. Amen. And can I tell you this evening, you cannot let people stand in your way of doing God's will for your life. Amen. There's going to be sometimes friends, sometimes there's going to be family, and sometimes there's going to be foes that are going to try to hinder you and get you out of God's will. But if God has put you in something, then you need to stay with it and don't let the position of man cause you to take a detour. He's not going to let the power of man. You see, they were religious leaders and they had political power, and they mention another one who has more power than them, and that is Herod. Amen. They bring up their religious power. They bring up his political power. But Jesus is not going to let the position of man, and he's not going to let the power of man deter him from God's will. Amen. You know, sometimes we look at men and we think, well, we can't, if so-and-so says it, then we must follow it. But that's not true. Amen. Peter stood that day and he said, should we obey God or should we obey man? Isn't that right? And it's better to obey God than to obey man. We should not fear what man, the Bible says, can do unto us. We must be obedient to God's word and be obedient to God's will. And Jesus is not going to let the position of man keep him from doing the will of God. And he's not going to let the power of man, Herod, his threats, keep him from doing the will of God. And then he is not going to let the pressure of men keep him from doing God's will. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on serving God under pressure. Serving God under pressure. You see, in verse number 31, the Pharisees were trying to put religious and political pressure on Jesus. They come to him and they said to him, "Get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee." Now, they were not trying to save Jesus' life. What they wanted to do was to drive Jesus back to Jerusalem there so that he would be in the power of the Sanhedrin. They wanted to get a hold of Jesus themselves, and Jesus certainly wasn't going to deny them of that, of having their greatest victim. Amen. They wanted to kill him, and Jesus was willing to die, but he was going to die in his own time, and he was going to die in God's hand, not in the hands of the Pharisees. Amen. I want to say tonight that sometimes it'll be people, sometimes it'll be problems, but sometimes the pressures of life and the pressures of others can hinder us from serving God. Amen. I wonder how many people tonight, you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people tonight would say to themselves, I could serve God more if it wasn't all the pressure that I'm under. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus served God no matter the pressure that he faced. And you and I have to make our mind up in this life that we're going to live for God come what may in life. Serving God cannot be have stipulations to it. The circumstances cannot line up, for they will not always line up. Amen. You got to make your mind up that you're going to live for God no matter what happens in life. Amen. And what is surprising in this text is who it is that is trying to pressure Jesus. It's the Pharisees, and they were religious people. You know, a lot of times pressure doesn't just come from out in the world, but sometimes pressure comes from within. Amen. And Christ is facing religious pressure in verse number 31. It is surprising why they are pressuring Jesus here. They're wanting to put Jesus in a place where they can be responsible for taking his life. They hated him and they wanted him dead, and it wouldn't be good enough for Herod to take his life. They wanted a piece of it at themselves. Amen. And can I tell you, there's a lot of people in life, if they could knock you out of the saddle today, if they could get you to quit serving God, if they could get you to back up on what you believe and where you stand, you know what they'd do tonight? They'd do like David said in Psalms chapter 11. They would have a party and a heyday just because they would get a thrill out of knowing that you're not today what you used to be for God. Amen. I'll illustrate it like this. You ever seen people that you went to church with, and when they get out of church and they go back on God, isn't it amazing the people that hooks up with them? Brother Danny, it'll be people that they never had anything to do with them when they was all in church together. But I'll tell you, the very second they get out of God's will and that person picks up on it, that they're not living for God, all of a sudden they become best friends.
You know what that friendship is built on? It's built on a sympathy that we love you and the church doesn't. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. The church don't drive nobody out. The church welcomes people to come in. Isn't that right? I get so tired down through the years, and I'm sure you do too. When people get out of the will of God, they ain't got enough guts and grits to go out and just say, hey, I backslid on God and I'm not what I used to be. They can't be honest about it. No, they got to go off and lie on the church and lie on the preacher or lie on some church member and act like the reason they're out there drinking their beer and smoking their dope and living their wicked lifestyle and stripping off and listening to all their kind of music and going to dance hall. They want to blame that on the church. I'm going to tell you something. That's a bunch of hogwash. Can I get an amen right there? We don't believe it. The world don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you something. God sure don't believe it. Amen. It's amazing. The place that used to help them the most, all of a sudden when they get out of the will of God, is the place that hurt them so much. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that. Amen. No more than anything. I'm telling you, we've all been hurt. We've all had our problems. We've all been knocked down, but thank God grace will help you to get back up and help you to go on and serve God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something about people. They do what they want to. It's not because they have to, because they're made to. If you want to live for God, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop you from living for God. Amen. But if you don't want to live for God, there ain't nobody going to make you live for God. Amen. If you quit tonight, don't go out and say, we made you quit. No, you backslid. Isn't that right? If I quit tonight, it ain't your fault. It's my fault. Well, I'm just telling you where we're at today. I can see it. I'm telling you, sometimes you can see that far away look in their eyes, and you know it is just a matter of time. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a few years ago, and I don't always see and know everything that goes on. I'm not trying to portray that. But I'm telling you, there's a few years ago, I told my wife 3 months. I said, I'm telling you that so-and-so is fixing to get out of church, and there ain't a thing I can do about it. She said, do you believe that? I said, I believe that more than anything. I said, and they're going to tell us that before the end of this year comes. I just told her that at the dinner table one day. She said, you believe that? I believed it so much, it come all the way down, Brother Danny, to the very last Sunday of the year, and I got up that morning not happy about it, but I told her, I said, I will be shocked if they don't tell me today they're leaving, and I said, they're not going to go to church. I said, they're going to act like they're going to go to church, but I don't give them 30 days and they'll be out of church. I'm going to tell you something, brother, as sure as I'm standing on this platform this morning or this evening, happened exactly that way, and I'm not a prophet and I can't see the future, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes God will pull the scales back and let you see something before it's coming as a pastor. One, so you can pray for people, and two, try to help them not shipwreck their life. Amen. Now I'm telling you, there's some people bent on backsliding, and listen, the problem is they just folded under the pressure. Amen. You cannot quit. If your best friend quits, you can't quit. And if they leave and go join some contemporary liberal church, you can't go do that and be right with God. If your kids don't want to live for God, you can't quit living for God. So, Brother Gravely, they don't want to live for God. Well, you buckle down, amen, and you hold her tight and you hang on, amen. I'm not going to promise you they'll do everything the way you want them to and the way they ought to. And I'll tell you one thing, they may go sideways for a little while, but they'll look back and know what's right. But you hold the line, because at the end of the day, you're not living for your children, amen. We're living for God. I think we have to be reminded that we're not, listen, we're not living for our families. We love our families, but hey, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself, but we live for Christ first. Isn't that right? And when they go another way, you just got to stay the same. And Jesus, in this text here, what they did, they had snubbed him, they had sneered him, they had slandered him all in this chapter. And now they're trying to scare him. They're trying to threaten him that Herod is going to take their life, his life, and Herod had already took the head of John the Baptist, so why not? But Jesus was not going to give in to the pressure. You know, sometimes as a teenager, you feel the pressure when other teenagers don't want to live for God. But you got to serve him under that pressure. Sometimes as a parent, when you have a teenager that's not wanting to do right, and you can see it a mile away and you want them to live for God, the devil will come to you and say, well, do you really think all this is necessary? And he'll try to put the pressure on you. You say, how do you know that? I mean, we all have felt it at times. And sometimes as a pastor, the devil will come to you and say, well,
You know, if you just let up right here, or just don't mention this for a... You don't have to mention this. If you keep mentioning this, people's going to leave. Well, the devil put pressure on you. He'll say, people say things. And I think God allows that in our life because you know what pressure does? It strengthens. The right amount of pressure on something makes it stronger, doesn't it? You put a bolt on a nut on a bolt and you screw it on there. You don't just screw it on your hand and leave it, do you? But you put that wrench on there and you ring it around, don't you? And you keep on going. And you know that there's a certain amount of pressure that has to be applied. What are you doing? You're strengthening what you're putting together. Sometimes in life, we're not going to get out of pressure. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher, a teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a parent. It doesn't matter if you're a young person. We're going to have pressure in life. Amen? And we have to learn to serve God under that pressure. Now, it may seem like you can't make it, but I'm telling you, if Jesus can make it, He's going to give you the grace to make it. And He did make it. Amen? And He served under that same pressure so that He could help you and I. He was an example to all of us. Listen, Christ didn't have to serve under pressure, but He chose to. Sometimes pressure comes, and I want you to notice these things about the Lord, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus served under pressure with directness. He said in verse number 32, "Go ye and tell that fox." I like that, don't you? He called Herod a fox. Now, he wasn't calling him a foxy mama. Somebody say amen. I don't know what Herod looked like, but I'd say he's pretty fat and ugly. Amen. But I'll tell you what he said. He called him a fox because he was sly. Because he was one that knew how to manipulate and work. And Jesus was not afraid of the Pharisees and he was not afraid of Herod. He said, "You go tell that fox." He's going to serve with directness. Now, Jesus never mistreated nobody. He never humiliated nobody. He was not into trying to defame someone's character. Our Lord was a perfect gentleman everywhere he went. But when the pressure got on him, he was willing to take a firm stand and with the right spirit. And we should always be willing to take a firm stand with the right spirit. Christ was very direct about what he had to say. He called the Pharisees whited sepulchers, amen, full of dead men's bones. He just put it out there like it was because it was the truth. Christ told the truth, amen, and he was direct in his service. He was direct in every sermon that he preached. When Christ preached a message, he didn't listen. He didn't water it down or try to, beef it up, but he just told it like it was. He preached to men as they were. He was direct in his speech. His yea was yea and his nay was nay. What I'm saying is when it comes to serving God, you can't have a bunch of question marks. You got to be direct in your stand and in your convictions. You know, sometimes on the public job, people want to ask questions that not because they're seeking for answers, but they want to be controversial. I never would answer those questions because the Bible says, "Answer not a fool in his folly." Questions that would bring about strife and contention, there's no point in answering them. We owe the world the gospel, but we don't owe them an explanation for why we live the way we live. I can remember there was a man I worked with, and he drank. And you say, "How do you know he drank?" He always put a fifth of liquor down in the basement. And the only two people went down in the basement and picked those boxes up was me and him. Amen. And I'd get down there and I'd find his liquor and I'd pour it out. And he'd get so mad that when he'd come back, he couldn't say nothing to me about it because he'd get fired for drinking on the job. Amen. Well, I poured it out because I didn't want no liquor down there and somebody think I was doing the drinking. Amen. And so he'd come back. And I could always tell when he found it, because he's blowed up like a toad frog, amen? He'd just all mad and pouting. And I'd say, "What's wrong with you?" I'd just see what was wrong with him, But you know what? Sometimes he'd come by and he'd say, "Well, preacher, tell me in the Bible where it's wrong. Jesus turned the water into wine." I said, "Is that so?" I said, "You know so much about it. Won't you teach me about it?" Amen? He said, "Well, I'm not going to argue with somebody about that. But we're not going to back up on it. It's still wrong for Christians to drink alcohol. Isn't that right? And it's wrong to play the lottery. Isn't that right?
There's no exceptions to that kind of stuff. And we live in a society that wants to okay everything. And I'll tell you something, God's never for gambling, and God's never for drinking, and God's never for adultery. You can't make adultery right. You can't make fornication right. Amen. I'm telling you, that stuff is sin. It's always been sin. It always will be sin. I'm talking about God's people are to be holy. Amen. And our convictions, we are not to just say, well, that, you know, you believe what you believe and I believe. No, I'm telling you something, if we believe the Bible, we all believe the same thing. Isn't that right? I'm talking about this book works on American soil, and thank God these same principles work on foreign soil. And I'm telling you, listen, the Bible is always going to be right. Amen. Be firm in your convictions. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And if you don't know, study it. Ask questions. Go to Sunday school and learn. And when someone asks you, give them a direct answer. Give them the right answer. Amen. But Jesus said, you go tell that fox. He was not afraid to give an answer to Herod. We must be willing to take a stand when it's necessary. Jesus served under pressure with direction. Notice what he said. He said, behold, I cast out devils. I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day. He had a direction in where he was going. He knew what he was going to do for God. Jesus knew the will of God for his life. And the will of God for today and for tomorrow for his life was to cast out devils and to cure diseases. Now that's what God wanted him to do on his way to the cross. And he was not going to be deterred by a bunch of religious people or by some political or by some politician. He was going to do what God had called him to do. And you know, if you know the will of God for your life, then just simply do the will of God. Others may scoff at it, others may mock it, others may try to get you to deter, they may try to put pressure on you not to do God's will, but be faithful to what God has called you to do. That job God has given you, that family, that home that God has given you, listen, you do what you know God has told you to do, and you don't have to answer to everybody. You know, when it comes to raising children in this world, so many people have advice, don't they? And if you're not careful, there'll be a lot of people tell you how to raise your children. But you get your answers from the Word of God. Amen. Don't spend all your time reading the internet on how to raise children. Read Proverbs. Amen. So, well, the internet says this. Well, I'll tell you, you can't believe everything on the internet. You know that, don't you? And more people, they raise their children based off some book they bought at Books a Million. And they'll read it to cover, and they don't even know what Proverbs says. Am I telling it right? I'm talking about somebody they don't even know, but they've got, you know, they've got more degrees than a thermometer, and so they think, well, obviously they know, and you know, truth be known, they may not even have children. Amen. They just wrote a book on it so you'd buy it so they can make a little bit of money, you know. And here you read that book, and just because it sounds good, say, man, I never heard that. That sounds pretty good. And so they start trying all that stuff. And you know, we don't want to suppress their personality, and we want to be gentle parents. You know, we don't do that gentle parenting. That's a bunch of hogwash. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, bust their tail, love them to death, amen. Teach them about the cross, amen. Teach them raise them with a Bible in one hand and a hickory in the other. And I'm gonna tell you something, when they won't listen to the Bible, they'll listen to the hickory, amen. And eventually one day they'll listen to the Bible, and that's in Proverbs, amen. You can go read that later when you get in the house. You don't need Dr. Spock's book, amen. You don't need Books a Million to tell you how to raise your children. I'm talking about serve God with some direction, amen. Know where you're going in this life. Amen. Well, that's not in that verse, but it works. I'm talking about, you know, everybody, you need to know where you're going in life. Young adults, don't spin your wheels. I mean, you're only in your 20s once. Don't waste those years. I got plenty of time. No, you need to be praying. You need to pray and ask God for the job that is, God, am I in your will about the job that I'm working? You need to pray about the job. You need to pray for a mate. You don't need to get on some online social media account and try to find somebody, but you need to get on your knees. Don't get online. Get on your knees and pray, and then just wait for God. He is not going to send you the... Listen, if you don't have a job and you're a young man, I'm going to tell you something. God ain't going to give you nobody, amen, because he's not going to give you somebody if you can't take care of them. Isn't that right? So you got to get a job before you get a wife. Can I get an amen right there? It don't go the other way. You don't get a wife and then get a job. Amen. If you do, you didn't get a good one. I can tell you that much. Amen. Or let me put it this way. She ain't too smart. Amen. But I'm telling you, you get a job. You pray, God, give me a job. And then you pray, God, give me a wife. Amen. I'm talking about gotta have some direction in life. What are you going to do with the rest of your life, young people? You going to work your hardies? Make Big Bubba the rest of your life? It's okay starting out, I reckon. Where are you going in life? What are you going to do? You can't work at Hardee's all your life. Well, you don't work there, but thank God. You know, I'm saying, where are you going in life? Young ladies, where are you going in life? Well, preacher, I'm going to marry me some knight in shining armor. Some hunk of a man. I'm going to marry this handsome man. There are no handsome men. Don't you know that? You find a pretty boy, you better run like a scalded dog. Amen. Am I telling the truth? Don't marry some pretty boy. I mean, you run. I mean, you drop him like a bad habit, you know, and you go on. I'm just telling you, you don't want to marry somebody like that. But you got to have a direction. I mean, before you get a man, you got to know how to cook. Is that right? Microwaving don't count. You got to know how to make some biscuits. Amen. You don't want him to be a wimp. Amen. You got to put some meat on him. Amen. That comes through bread. Can I get an amen right there? You got to know how to make some cornbread out of an iron skillet. Somebody said, don't want to make it out of a pan and cut it with a cake cutter. Amen. Like sheet pan. You know, you don't want to do that. Amen. I mean, y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? Iron skillet, cornbread, amen, like grains of sand in a glass, amen, and some good old-fashioned milk and an onion. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you want to marry somebody that knows something about life. Have a direction, amen. Just start with cornbread, girls. You'll be all right. At least they say, she's ugly, but I'll tell you, she can cook. Man, she's a Betty Crocker. And iron. And all that kind of stuff. Y'all ain't ugly. You know, I'm not calling y'all. It's hypothetical. But I'm telling you tonight, do you have a direction? You see, don't worry about what God's will is for your life 2 years from now or 5 years from now. What is God's will for your life today? And just do it today. And let God take care of tomorrow. And be faithful. Have a direction. Where are you going? Well, preacher, I just kind of get up and see what happens. You need to have a direction in life. You need to get up and you need to have a routine. You need to have a schedule. You need to have something. Can I get an amen right there? Everybody ought to have a schedule in life. Amen. If you lay around in your pajamas till 11 o'clock in the day, you need to get a schedule in life. Am I telling the truth? That's what's wrong with this generation. They just throwed them to the entertainment world and throwed them to the computer screen and they've thrown them to the television, amen, and they've laid up on a couch till they're 25 years old, amen, and they don't know how to do anything in life, amen, because they've never been taught. And I don't blame them. Y'all still with me tonight? I blame the generation that just kind of threw that generation away and scolded everybody. I mean, you need to learn how to run a lawnmower, amen. You need to learn how to mow a yard and run a chainsaw. You need to know how to use a broom, for crying out loud. Can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about not one of them robot things that sucks everything up. Ain't nothing wrong with having them. But I'm telling you, you need to know how to operate a broom, amen. You need to know how to dust, amen, from the top to the bottom. And can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about have some direction in your life, amen. Know where you're going in life. Serve God with direction. Jesus, and he served under pressure with discipline. Look at verse number 30. He said, I do cures. Notice this, today and tomorrow. He mentions the third day. He's talking about resurrection day. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. You know, Jesus had discipline, didn't he? What he was going to do, he said, I'm doing this systematically. I'm doing this today. I'm doing this tomorrow. I'm doing this the day following. Jesus had a system. And you know, that's how God wants us to live our life. He wants us to have routine. He wants us to have a system. And we're to serve God with discipline. Hey, if you don't have discipline, ask God for discipline. Amen. Get rid of things in your life that takes away discipline. Amen. Things that, you know, that's what's wrong with video games. When you just sit there and you just look at a screen for 6 hours, you're not really using any
muscles, amen? And you're not using much of your brain when you think about that, amen? I'm telling you, you go to the average grocery store nowadays and you give them cash and the average young person just looks at you like, what in the world do you want me to do with this right here? Boy, I preached on everything tonight, hadn't I? We're down at Bilo right now. Or Food City. You give them cash and they don't know how to make change. And Lord help if you give them $10.50, that really throws them for a loop right there. Well, you gave me, what's these two quarters for? It's so I don't get a bunch of change back. But they don't know how to do that, do they? You know, I thank God that we have young people that are playing instruments and that are doing things. You know, use your mind. Learn, get some skills in life. Be disciplined. You know, get up and do the things in life you don't want to do. Amen. Those are the important things, aren't they? Everybody likes to eat cake. But you can't eat cake every day. Get up and go to work. Do things you don't want to do. Nobody likes to just jump out of the bed on Monday morning. But you got to be disciplined, amen. I think there's nothing wrong with homeschooling, but you got to have discipline. My wife homeschooled the girls, and I remember when they were growing up, she was like, they got to be dressed every morning. Me being the good disciplined dad that I was, I said, do they really? Well, can't they can't they be comfortable? She's like, no, they got to get up every morning and put their clothes on just like everybody else. And I said, well, I don't think it's a big deal, but hey, you know what? You're the boss. She hates when I say that. She's really not, but I like to say that, Tagger. I'm in trouble with everybody else. Why not with you tonight? She said they got to get up and put day clothes on every single day so that they don't do that. And I thought, well, okay. Boy, as it went on, I thought, that is a good thing. And when they were teenagers, she said, you got a certain amount of minutes to go in there and look pretty. And me being the good disciplined dad, I was like, why can't they just take longer? She said, well, do you want them to get married one day and stand in front of a mirror for hours? I said, no. That's pretty good thinking, ain't it? She said, if they can't look pretty in this amount, I said, I got you. And ladies, I mean, I'm going to get in trouble here, but if you can't get it done in an hour, I'm just going to tell you something. You don't go beyond it. You're just killing time. That's all you're doing. You know what? I'm just done. Come on, Sister Allen.